Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with livestock market economist Dr. Daryl Peel. We're talking cattle on feed in just a moment. Checking in on the Beef Checkoff. Joining us today, Heather Buckmaster with the Oklahoma Beef Council. Heather, I know the checkoff's being utilized to share the beef sustainability story with consumers. Tell me more.
Absolutely. As many cattlemen and women know, some individual organizations and companies spread misinformation about cattle's role in the environment. The Beef Checkoff works tirelessly to combat this message through scientifically proven research because ultimately the truth is in the science. For years, the Beef Checkoff has invested producer dollars into beef sustainability research to learn, understand, and strategically communicate beef's place in a sustainable food system. This research provides a basis for most checkoff-funded advertising campaigns and other initiatives. Beef sustainability message is then communicated to many audiences, including consumers, registered dietitians, the scientific community, influencer, chefs, and communities abroad through a fully integrated marketing approach.
Learn more at oklabeef.org. Click on Cattleman's Corner. We're talking today with livestock market economist Dr. Daryl Peel out of Oklahoma State University. Daryl, we've got the end of June cattle on feed numbers just released by Uncle Sam. Maybe first I'll give us a rundown on the actual report.
You bet. The June USDA cattle on feed report showed that placements in May were 93.1% of a year ago. Marketings in May were 123.4% of a year ago. And that gives us an on-feed total that's just almost equal to last year, 100.2%. So it rounds to 100%. I should point out that, you know, both the placements and marketings numbers are being compared to some very unusual dynamics, particularly the marketings this month in 2020 due to the pandemic. So we're still trying to work through that. Having said that, the on-feed total for a year ago was very similar to what it was in 2019. And so this tells us that we're kind of back to that level now, which I think maybe is one of the important points here.
And Daryl, as you've mentioned, we've got a little bit longer to go in working through all the pandemic impacts that we saw last year.
Well, we've still got a little more to go. You know, the marketings and the on-feed total kind of settled down after this month, basically. The placements number had, had some unusual activity a little bit later in the summer and early fall last year. So we'll be comparing that still in kind of an unusual comparison here. So, yeah, we do have several more months of being careful about how we interpret these reports.
Now, when you look at the fact that we are continuing to move a lot of cattle through the pipeline, I know that we talked here just a few days ago about the fact that you feel that we're getting closer to being current. Does this report kind of confirm that we're still being doing a pretty good job of moving cattle aggressively?
I think so. I think we're continuing to make progress here. We may still have a little ways to go, but, you know, we're certainly seeing some signs in the cash-fed cattle market that would suggest that we're beginning to kind of lift that cap that's been in place that was really a capacity constraint. So I think we'll continue to see things evolve here, but, we're going to get this cattle market kind of back right here in the next few weeks, I think, in an ongoing process.
Daryl, in parts of the country north of us, west of us, serious drought conditions, a lot of folks having to make the decision, do we go ahead and cut back on our herds? And the timing of it's a very, very critical right now. What are you hearing? What do you think is going on right now? And what does that mean when we start talking about cow numbers for next year?
You know, the thing you look at now, you can see that cow slaughter, for example, beef cow slaughter has been significantly elevated. However, we recognize that going into a drought, one of the things we always tell producers at this time of the year is if you've got a problem, you know you have limited forage, then one of the things you should do is wean early and cull early. And so some of that elevated cow slaughter that we're seeing may just be cow culling that was going to happen this year anyway, but much later in the year in October or November. So what we're trying to do is figure out when we cross that line or go past that sort of early culling level and then really start to represent, net liquidation of the herd that was not planned, and that has those longer term implications. So that's what we're looking at right now, is trying to figure out sort of where we are on that.
Extension livestock market economist Dr. Daryl Peel talking with us about his take on the latest U.S. Department of Agriculture cattle on feed report issued this last Friday. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
Farmers throw a big curveball at wheat diseases that they can't hit. Give them Green Hammer, an OSU variety marketed through Oklahoma Genetics. Key diseases such as leaf rust and stripe rust can't handle Green Hammer, and it offers one of the highest protein levels in the Great Plains with a top-tier test weight. Green Hammer also offers Hessian fly resistance and acid soil tolerance. It's also been recognized for excellent milling and baking quality by the Wheat Quality Council. Put the hammer down with Green Hammer. Log on to okgenetics.com to learn more.
And that's your Beef Buzz. Have a good day. I'm Ron Hayes.